Blog Talk Radio.
Technical problem there, gang. Lost a little control in the studio. Thanks, Blog Talk. Good evening and welcome to Erie House Radio. Was that a quick recovery? Maybe, maybe not. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show here along with...
Quiet, Joe. I'm Dave Bakley from Weird and Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And we're along here with...
It's good to know who to blame. That's all I'm going to say, and hello, everyone. Blah, blah to you all. It's Guy Gardego, and don't blame me.
No, not this time. it's yeah. Early.
That's right.
So what,
stop calling me Shirley.
Whatever is our topic, I guess my last-minute attempt to start the show off with the following.
Yes.
Around and around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Yep.
Mr. Dale
K. That is the wheel of radio. It is the wheel of life.
Yeah.
The riddle is what's round on the inside as much as it's round on the outside. And the answer is?
A donut.
A donut.
Oh, I thought it was a donut.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Too.
Donut is good.
The wheel of donut. It's actually chocolate donut day, I think.
According to Lucas Haas in Mars Attacks, the donut is the intergalactic sign for peace. From Mars Attacks.
But it did. Then why didn't they offer the aliens a donut?
Because they shot the donut shop on Route 66 and the giant donut started rolling down the desert.
Yeah, right. They blew the smithereens.
When you keep going, we come in peace, and then, like, shoot up Congress, that's probably a sign that maybe these guys are not trustable.
Maybe their definition of peace isn't the same definition of peace that we have. That's what
yeah.
the problem is.
Or their word for donut means yeah. something way different. Who knows?
Or they should have said, we come in peace shooters, like a peace shooter.
There you go.
No, there you go.
Fogs Bean just joining us here along with good old Bob. We're
doing two
very special radio programs about the Wheel O' Life.
How do I not have
my train? A rare appearance of the CBS Radio Mystery Theater tonight.
I remember playing Life. I never ended up going to college in Life. I just kept getting bad spins.
Right.
You never ended up.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, okay, guys. What were some of the derogatory cards you could get or land on that were in the game of Life? Like alimony, palimony, child support. I don't know.
Yeah. A modern version would certainly have those features.
I think modern day would be do not pass go, do not collect $200, 15 years in penitentiary. Good luck.
Yeah. Ooh, you got caught embezzling funds. Go to jail.
Yeah. Hand in the cookie jar. Too bad.
Oh, wait a minute, yeah. but yeah. I've got yeah. a district attorney card. I'm good.
Hey, I'm a billionaire. I can pay it off without coming to
there you go. Yeah, that's
acquisition
right.
guilt. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Money solves everything, doesn't it?
I'd like to be given the chance to find out. All I ask
is for the chance, the opportunity to find that out, Dale.
Yeah, that's true.
Exactly.
All I ask.
I know that many, many, many winners on lotteries don't keep it very long.
No, and that doesn't make any sense to me. If I were to win the lottery, I'm not going to go, oh, well, there we go. Let's get rid of all of it.
See, I
no,
okay, here's
go.
The thing. Here's the thing. Do you play the lottery, Gar?
I have.
Do you play the lottery?
I have.
Okay.
But not
on a regular thing. You're not.
I did for a year, then I gave up.
And you gave up. Okay. But you know,
I had to.
The thing is, if you really don't know how to handle your money, and somebody gives you $20 million, and, you know, you're going to give some away, and you're going to buy some things that you don't need, and before you know it, it doesn't take long for that to disappear after taxes and such. But most people who play it regularly, the people that usually seem to buy it, it's not like somebody who bought one ticket for the first time in 15 years. These people that play a ton of it every week, trying to hit that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
And no, it's people like that that actually create their own poverty.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, they actually did. You're right.
Well, no. If you play the lottery itself, you're creating your own poverty, because that $1 or five or ten or whatever you're playing could have gone in your gas tank, or could have gone to your late bill, or could have gone to your house payment.
Well,
those people who picked my ex-wife, her economic system plan, and even she lost money on charging people for that. So I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, my ex-wife always cost me more money when she worked than when she didn't work. How's that?
How's that? Wow.
It's true, because, you know, my money was her money, but her money was her money. So she'd spend that and charge things. You know, if she was working, if she wasn't working, she wouldn't charge things. I'm thinking,
oh,
I can't afford to have you work, sweetheart.
Well, it was never her or my, it was our, but we made decisions together, not like, oh, I'm going to go buy a $500 purse or whatever. And it was like, no.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you're going to buy that, then you're going to have to share or something. I don't know what you're going to have to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, something, you know.
New car makeup.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. You know, the expense in keeping going what you got going, you know, that's something additional.
You got it.
And something that it's this crazy word called budgeting that is very effective.
Well, and that's the thing. I think when you win a large amounts of money, you're not used to accustomed to managing it. And as good old Bob pointed out, you get whacked by the taxes. So my advice is, when you hit the lottery, first call an attorney, second call CPA.
Yeah.
In that order.
The good thing about the taxes is you just go, you know what? Go ahead, tax me. And then, because once you're done, you're done.
That's true.
That's it.
Except for the interest that you make on the rest of your money. That's income, buddy.
Right.
Put it on the form.
And it is. It is. But you could take that money, put it in the bank, and live off the interest. Yeah, you're still playing some tax money with it, but, you know,
Yeah, it's always something. It's always something. But
yeah. I wouldn't mind the opportunity to try.
So not all of us land on the millionaire block of the wheel of the game of life, but these two radio programs are winners. And
yes,
how was that for a segue, baby?
That is a segue, yeah. And our Sam Spade is our favorite. Mr. Howard Duff is back again as Sam Spade Detective.
Huzzah.
Yeah.
And we got a CBS Radio Mystery Theater program as well.
Yeah. So, want to get our shovels and start digging into this?
I should think so.
Let's...
And we will shovel Sam Spade. Why not? Seems appropriate.
Woo-hoo!
Absolutely.
In the Wheel of Life caper.
Yes.
And that it is.
We have an air date. Have an air date of July 11th, 1948.
A.D.
The Adventures of Sam Spade, Detective. Brought to you by Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic, the non-alcoholic hair tonic that contains lanolin. Wild Root Cream Oil, again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first.
Detective Agency.
Are you still there?
I believe that interpolation is hardly rhetorical, Mr. Spade. To what have you been up, if you'll pardon the expression? And has that girl regained her facilities?
I wouldn't know, but her faculties are as good as ever, if you'll pardon the expression.
Mr. Spade, sometimes I think you're a regular philanthropist.
Don't you mean philanderer?
How much money did you make out of that case?
Well, I broke even anyway.
That's what I mean. You're a philanthropist.
Well, you know best, Bernadine.
By the way, was that man really murdered with the bus door, or was that just publicity?
He really was, Bernadine.
Why?
There just happened to be one lying around.
Oh, I don't mean that. Why was he killed?
For the Wheel of Life.
Oh.
You're not going to ask what that is?
Some curio, no doubt.
Listen, Bernadine, the Wheel of Life is, I suppose I don't have to tell you to stay where you are. Just sit quietly with your book in your hand, and I'll be right down to dictate my report on the Wheel of Life caper.
Dashiell Hammett, America's leading detective fiction writer and creator of Sam Spade, the hard-boiled private eye, and William Spear, radio's outstanding producer-director of mystery and crime drama, join their talents to make your hair stand on end with the adventures of Sam Spade. Presented by the makers of Wild Root Cream Oil for the hair. Come on, mister, give the gals a break. Treat them to a look-see at a really handsome head of hair, neat, well-groomed hair, the way yours is going to look when you spruce up with Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic. Famous Wild Root Cream Oil grooms your hair neatly and naturally, relieves annoying dryness, removes loose, ugly dandruff. So how about it, men? Why hold off any longer when now's the time to get Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic? Again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first. And now, with Howard Duff starring as Spade, Wild Root brings to the air the greatest private detective of them all in the adventures of Sam Spade.
I went down to St. James Infirmary to see my baby there.
Ready, Bernadine, little flower?
I'm way ahead of you.
Keep it clean.
No more than 3 erasures per page. Okie dokie?
Oak. I mean doke. I mean date.
Oh, I'd love to.
July 11, 1948. To Detective Lieutenant Dundee, Homicide Detail, San Francisco Police. Subject, the Wheel of Life caper. Now, don't go away, Bernadine. I don't know why these things always have to happen to me. Under private detectives in the San Francisco Classified Directory, there are listed somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 agencies, several with large display ads. But somehow she managed to find me.
It's all so strange, Mr. Spade. I hardly know where to begin.
Well, the beginning is always a pretty good place to start, Miss O'Farrell.
Yes, the beginning. It was like waking out of a nightmare you can't remember. Everything seemed out of proportion. Even the buildings along the street seemed to be leaning at a crazy angle. And then I realized I was traveling down a hill. I looked wildly around for something to help me get my bearings. And there was a street sign, O'Farrell, stuck in my mind, so I gave it to your secretary when she asked for my name.
Uh-huh. And what's your real name?
I don't know. I don't know who I am, where I came from, or where I'm going. Mr. Spade, I'm so frightened.
Now, wait a minute. A lot of people suffer from temporary loss of memory. Most of them recover. But amnesia is a sickness, and I am not a doctor.
Oh. And you won't even try to help me?
Well, I can give you the name of a good head doctor right here in the building. There's also missing persons.
Oh, but I'm not a missing person. I'm right here.
Yeah, I mean where you aren't, somebody might be missing you, Nespa.
But the police... Oh, I'd rather not. I might be wanted for some crime. How do I know?
You sure you want to find out?
Oh, yes, I do. I do. It's terrible not knowing, but I want to find out for myself. Can't you understand that?
What do you think I can do for you?
You might save my life.
From what?
I'll try to tell you exactly how it happened. First, I looked at my watch. It was 10:03. The cable car stopped at the corner and a man got on. I couldn't remember ever having seen him before, but then I couldn't remember anything. He sat down beside me and he caught hold of my arm. I tried to pull away. Well, you can see the marks where he...
Yeah.
Well, who was he? He acted as if I were...
I think I know what you mean. Did you find out who he was?
No, no, I was too frightened to speak.
What did he say?
He sort of growled it out of the side of his mouth, but it sounded as if he said, Lathrop wants to see you.
Mm-hmm. You remember anybody named Lathrop?
I can't remember anything before 10:03 this morning.
Well, let's go on with since then. The guy grabs you, said somebody named Lathrop wanted to see you, and then what?
I went into a panic. I managed to jerk away from him, and I jumped off the moving car, and then I looked in the classified section, and I found you.
Why me?
I don't know. The name, I guess. A spade to dig up my past.
Please, Miss O'Farrell.
Do you think I'm very silly?
No, I think you're very beautiful. I wish you could remember whether you're married or not.
Oh, no. Well, at least I have no wedding ring.
What have you got? I mean, besides what's visible.
Well, I couldn't find much of anything. I went over my clothing. There don't seem to be any marks of any kind.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got any money?
Well, a little over $300.
Let's have it. The purse, too.
All right.
Uh-huh. Lipstick, aspirin, bobby pins, Kleenex. Nothing here. They couldn't have been bought in any drugstore. Powder. Hey, what kind of powder is it?
Then there was this in my coat pocket.
A match folder. Sailor's Rest Bar, Hotel Calcutta, 1100 Embarcadero. Little number written inside. 120. What's that, a room number?
I don't know. My purse, you have to destroy it.
Here's $10 of your own money. Buy a new one. Wow.
Did you find something?
Coin, Chinese bit. Good luck piece, probably sewn in by whoever made it, maybe in China. That ring any bells?
No. No, I'm afraid not.
Shoe.
What?
Your right shoe. Let's see it. Take it off.
You aren't going to tear it up the way you did the purse, are you?
Dust. Plaster dust.
Is that a clue?
I don't know, is it?
I'm not a detective.
Well, you are in this case, baby. If it doesn't mean anything to you, it doesn't mean anything.
Well, it doesn't. And that's everything. What am I going to do?
Well, let me see. First, we better give you a name. O'Farrell's all right. You look like, Lana would do, but, well, that's in use. How about Poppy, for forgetfulness?
Poppy O'Farrell. That's a funny name.
Yeah, you think so?
I think I like it.
You do?
I think I like you, too.
I liked her, too. There may have been blanks in her brain, but the rest of her figured. In the elevator, I started adding it up, and by the time we reached the street floor, it came to quite a tidy sum.
Where are we going, Sam?
Far, I hope. But first, we're going to find you a place to stay.
Oh, yes, we must be practical.
No use overdoing it, huh?
Oh, no, Sam, I didn't mean... Wait.
What's the matter? You remember something?
That man, the one who followed me this morning, he's standing right out there waiting.
The one in the straw hat leaning against the newsstand?
Yes. Where are you going, Sam?
You stay here. I just remembered something I hoped I could forget. Hello, Shuggy. What brings you back to town?
Do I know you?
That doesn't matter. I know you. The name you were using when you blew this town was Shuggy Bellows. You wouldn't take the risk of showing your face here again unless the caper was worth it.
You got a big nose. Keep it clean.
You've been tailing that girl all day. Why?
Dame? What dame?
Who's Lathrop?
I don't remember.
Okay, I'll give you a chance to think it over. Hey, officer!
You dirty shamus yelling cop.
No, you don't. Come here.
What's going on here? Break it up. Oh, Mr. Spade. Is this fella giving you trouble now?
Yeah, what kind of a beat are you pounding here, Clancy, letting a cheap grifter like this walk around with an armpit full of gun? Or are they handing out permits to characters like these this day?
How about that, son? Have you a permit now?
And a goop, copper.
Oh, so one of them clever lads he is. What? Come along, me bucko, before I lose me temper and give you your lumps, Al.
Okay, I'm coming.
That's better now. Much obliged, Mr. Spade.
I'll pay you for this, Thomas.
And a goop to you, too. I was sure he would, but I was also sure that I wouldn't have to worry about him for the rest of the night. I checked Poppy O'Farrell in at the Belvedere, locked her in her room, and told Tiny Stover, the house dick, to keep an eye on her. When I left him, he was, and he seemed to be enjoying his work. Then I headed for the Embarcadero. I found the Hotel Calcutta, but I couldn't find the lobby. There wasn't any. It had been squeezed out by the Sailor's Rest Bar. So I tried the bosun-type bartender.
Howdy, mate. You got business aboard?
Yeah, where do I find the purser?
He went ashore. All the officers went ashore except the janitor. He's passed out in his bunk.
Oh? How about the passengers?
You're in the thick of them right now. They spend most of their time and their money right here.
Which one belongs to 120?
You a dick?
Yeah, but I got $10.
Well, what I can tell you ain't worth it, but thanks anyway. He stayed in this cabin. I only saw him at once. That's when he went ashore. I says to the deck steward, that's room clerk to you, who's a general. He says, name of Korolenko. I noticed him because he was a real creep, see? 6'4", a solid brass. His head stuck up in the air, and he didn't move nothing from his stern to his shoulders. A real Frankenstein. Do I keep it then?
Yeah. Do I get a look at his room?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Who's stopping you?
So I went. Nobody stopped me until I opened the door to 120. Then I stopped myself. It was an inside room with one small window on an air shaft, but it looked as if a flurry of snow had blown in. The floor and the rest of the flat surfaces were sprinkled with a fine, dirty white powder. It wasn't snow, it was dust, plaster dust, like the stuff I'd found in Poppy's handbag and on her shoes. I shook the place down, not expecting to find anything. I didn't until I opened the wardrobe. The body of a well-dressed ship surgeon, but his uniform was rumpled, torn, and bloodstained. From the look of him, his throat had been cut. I wondered if Poppy would be able to jog her memory that far back. When I found the murder weapon, I hoped she couldn't. I really did. It was not a knife. It was not even a razor. It was an electric buzzsaw. That tore it.
Makers of Wild Root Cream Oil are presenting the weekly Sunday adventure of Dashiell Hammett's famous private detective, Sam Spade. If you want the well-groomed look that helps you get ahead socially and on the job, listen. Recently, thousands of people from coast to coast who bought Wild Root Cream Oil for the first time were asked, how does Wild Root Cream Oil compare with the hair tonic you previously used? Better than 4 out of 5 who replied said they preferred Wild Root Cream Oil. And no wonder. Wild Root Cream Oil grooms the hair neatly and naturally, relieves annoying dryness, and removes loose dandruff. What's more, non-alcoholic Wild Root Cream Oil is the only leading hair tonic that contains soothing lanolin. So ask for Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic. Again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first. By the way, smart girls use Wild Root Cream Oil, too. And mothers say it's grand for training children's hair.
And we'll continue to root for Sam Spade right after a little bit of chat here.
I was going to have a little bit of Wild Cream Oil before we continued on here.
That Wild Root is good. That Wild Root flavor.
That Wild Root Cream Oil.
Good on hot dogs. Yeah, buddy.
Whole lot gooder than good. I guarantee. That's my boy, Justin Justin.
Pulled out the Garculator, and it said that $10 and 48 would be worth $121. That's a lot of money for some info about who's in room 101 or whatever.
Yeah. Hey, Sam Spade can spread it around.
I guess.
We can share some of that cabbage.
From now on, I'm only getting paid in $1948. That's all.
Yeah. There you go.
You know? It's worth so much more than our money is.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much everything's going to be soon.
Well, it's like $60 to fill your tank. That's all rough.
Yeah. So on that cheerful note.
Okay. On that cheerful note.
I never spoil my car with a full tank. Don't want to get used to that idea.
Yeah. I need a third mortgage.
Here's another 50 cents, Carl. That's it. That's all you get today.
Yeah. Well, seriously, you never fill your tank all. Like, if I go there, then I'm going to fill it up and I'm going to go my way, and there you go.
Yeah.
You guys don't fill it all the way up?
I don't.
50 cents of gas? Let me get the eyedropper.
I know. Exactly. Exactly.
Why am I laughing? But it's all good. Hey, our show is free.
That's right. What is free in 1948, Gar, that you could how much would that be worth today?
Yeah, how does that count?
$626.18.
What a deal. What a deal.
See the savings you get just by listening to Erie House Radio. Isn't that amazing?
I know.
I like good old Bob's tagline. Wild Root, it's the greasiest.
Yeah. And then he said, if you put that lantern on your door, can you just... Now, understand, these are 1926 leather door hinges. They'll never squeak again. You do it on the metal, maybe not so much.
Yeah, put a little lanolin on the door knobs and watch the fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then take an electrical wire and wire that up to the doorknob. You're going to see good hair and sparks.
Yep, that fancy electric slide will be back in style.
But remember, never whiz on the electric fence.
I know. Gosh, I cried when they did that. That was so funny. I was just like, oh my God, they didn't do that. They did. And because I was kind of naive and I didn't know what I was watching. And I was like, what? What? It's kind of like the Space Madness episode. Oh my gosh, they just
space
hurt me.
Space Madness.
Yeah. the Ren and Stimpy Space Madness is just and the electric fence thing. Oh my gosh. Oh. I lost the ability to breathe when I was watching those. I was laughing so hard. Crazy.
That was Ren and Stimpy, I think.
Yes,
Ren and Stimpy.
I'm sitting there watching a cartoon, and all of a sudden it went blue, and I was like, what? The heck?
The heck?
Like there is one clip of Porky Pig cussing. It's only one. It's out there. And when I saw it, I was like, what?
Son of a beat.
What? Son of a gun. Yeah. That you thought I was going to say. Yeah, exactly.
Ad infinitum. That's right. Let's wrap up Sam Spade, shall we? I'm kind of dying to see what's going to happen here. See if this young lady is going to remember who the heck she is.
Son of a bubba.
So let's return now to Wheel of Life Caper from Sam Spade.
And now back to the Wheel of Life Caper, tonight's adventure with Sam Spade.
And the ghost.
Times being what they are, I could use a little publicity. And so could you, Lieutenant Dundee, what with the elections coming up and you with no promotion all these years. This one time, I got it instead of you and wished I hadn't. The morning papers called it the Buzzsaw Murder and went on shamelessly from there. Horror killing related by private eye. Stan Slade, ex-Pinkerton man, mum on mystery woman. Elderly sleuth dodges photographers, denies hotel visit, was in bed with Apple and good book, says paper. There wasn't a word of truth in it, mainly because nobody could get at the facts. I wasted most of the day down at headquarters trying to find out what name Shuggy Bellows had been booked under. Then I dropped in at the Belvedere. Poppy had checked out. I decided to get back to my office and drink poison. I hardly got the desk drawer open when a sobering influence walked in. It was a Mr. 6'4" of solid brass. The Frankenstein who'd been described to me by the bartender as the occupant of room 120.
Excuse me. I am Korlenko. Please, I shall sit down. I am so heavy.
Make yourself at home.
Oh. Mr. Slade.
Slade.
Excuse me. I am so heavy. I am Korlenko.
So you told me. I am really Spade myself.
So... why are she hiding from me?
Who?
That girl, Miss Paget. Her, I am paying 1 month in advance, $300 American. Me, she have dessert. I am not rich, only moderately wealthy. But you understand, it's not question from money alone. That ship's doctor, he was most kind to me. He cared to me even after I arrived. Now he are dead for his pains, his dirty tricks.
Yeah, I know how you feel. Now, if you'll take it a little easy, I think we'll get farther. You say this girl's name is Paget, and she traveled with you.
From Macau, da, where she is the Florence Nightingale for Portuguese hospitals, forcing me to employ her, all others being Chinese nuns.
That figures. You sick?
No, only I am so heavy, they are breaking my back in traffic accident, rickshaw collusion.
You're wearing a plastic cast?
Yes, like a turtle, I am close with my neck sticking out. Look, see? Now it is better as before. The ship's doctor trimmed the rough edges with buzz saw. Buzz, 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 I can walk. But it's like suit from armor, for which I alive. Look.
I looked again where he opened his shirt front, exposing the gray-white shell of plaster that surrounded his trunk from collarbone to hips. In a 6-inch circle over the left side of his chest, I counted 4 bullet gouges. I dug one of the slugs out and examined it. It was .32 caliber. The plastic cast, which was molded to the shape of his body, was no more than an inch thick. I didn't see how it had stopped the slugs, but it had. About then, the parts of Korolenko that were not held rigid in the cast began to tremble violently.
Why are they doing this? Why? To a virtually helpless man? Why, Mr. Spade? Why? Why? Why?
Where did you have that cast put on?
Don't I said Macau?
The Portuguese hospital there?
The same. They are hanging me up with the neck and plastering me. Comes great pain. They put me to sleep from anesthetic. I are waking up in ambulance arriving at shipboard. Why you wish I should tell you my operation? More important things we should be discussing.
I think so, too. I think Miss Paget and her friends had something they wanted to smuggle out of Macau and into San Francisco, and you're it.
Oh, excuse me. I am not comprehensible.
Look, I mean, while you were out with the anesthetic, they planted the goods, whatever they are, in or under your cast.
Oh, that is why I am so heavy. The wheel. The wheel.
The what?
The wheel. Look, I'll show you.
He hauled a manila envelope out of his overcoat pocket and waved it in my face. I took it over to my desk and fished out the contents. It was a set of X-ray films. 3 of his spine showing the fractures, 4 of the skull, 3 I couldn't figure out, and 1 of his rib cage. Only something new had been added. In silhouette, it looked like the wheel off of a child's wagon.
What is it, this wheel? What to do? What to do? 6 months I must remain in this straitjacket. If I remove it, I die. If I keep it on, they kill me to get their smuggle.
Well, you look to me like the luckiest man alive. That wheel, or whatever it is, saved your life by stopping 4 slugs.
But still, I shall die. How shall I die? When shall I die? Your best advices, please.
Korolenko, I think you better die right now.
Excuse me?
It's the only safe place for you. The morgue. I called my friend Maxie the morgue man, gave him pitch number 137596. He agreed to play along. An hour later, I stood on the curb, head bowed, hat in hand, as the morgue wagon drove away into the gathering mist.
Straight facing the way,
What do you want, Shuggy?
I want to blast this gun straight through you, and I will if you give me any excuse at all.
You sound like you mean that, Shuggy.
You're getting smart, Shamus. Now get going.
Where to?
Mr. Lathrop wants to see you.
Shuggy, dear boy, you've not failed me this time. This will be the fabled Mr. Spade, eh? Come in. Ah, sit down, Mr. Spade. We'll talk.
Tell your guns to get that pistol out of my ribs.
Oh, yes, indeed, Shuggy. You mustn't overdo it.
And get him out of here. I'm tired and nervous, and my price goes up $1,000 every minute he's in this room. When I get to 10,000, I kill him. Then the price jumps to 100 to take care of me on a murder rap.
I should ought to plug you downstairs.
Come, Shuggy, don't be ungracious. You wait in the other room now.
Okay, it's your party. I'll get mine later.
Oh, dear. His bite's much worse than his bark, Mr. Spade.
Don't start boring me so early in the evening. I came here to talk about the wheel.
Oh, so you know about the wheel.
I do better than that. I've got it.
That may well be, but Do you know what to do with it?
I got two possibilities. I can turn it over to the cops and you with it, or I can sit on it until it hatches.
A quaint conceit, sir. Round and round the little wheel goes, and where it shall stop, nobody knows.
That's where you're wrong. It stops right here. So you better start placing your bets.
Yeah, just what do you mean by that, sir?
There's part of it.
What is it?
It's one of the slugs you gunsled through at Korolenko. I got three more just like it that I dug out of him before he was carried to the morgue.
Well, an advantage, I'll admit. But hardly worth your while to take advantage of.
Don't be too sure of that.
Just how much do you know about the wheel?
So far, it's been worth two human lives to you at the risk of your own. That tells me all I need to know.
Oh, no, not quite. Men have been killed in holdups for a few paltry sovereigns, but the wheel is a horse of another color. Well,
let's not change wheel horses in midstream, Mr. Lathrop.
Yes. You must understand that the wheel has no absolute finitive value. Monetarily speaking, the British Museum might pay close on to £5,000, hot as it is, for the privilege of returning it. Occidentals aren't the puka sahibs that they once were in the Orient. The theft of the wheel, if countenanced by the Western powers, would have most grave consequences. Most grave. Are you attending, sir?
Wake me up when you get to the point.
Ah, well, the point, sir, is this. That little wheel of gold, is the wheel of life, which the Buddha himself is said to have received into his hands from paradise. Now, given such a relic, a few old Buddhist monks can set up a shrine which, even in the most miserable surroundings, can attract enough pilgrims to outgross Radio City, Madison Square Garden, and Miami Beach in season.
To say nothing of Hialeah.
Yes, quite. In short, we propose to act as booking agents for the wheel on a royalty basis with a percentage of the house.
Mm-hmm. Why did you bring it to San Francisco?
Good gad, sir. Were we to bargain in the Orient, we should be hacked to pieces in our beds.
I'll settle for a lump sum and let you do the bargaining.
Your price, sir?
We can talk money later. First, I got to give the cops somebody for the doctor's murder and for Korolenko.
Uh-huh. Well, that ought not to be too difficult. When may I expect delivery?
I'll check on it. I went down to St. James Infirmary.
City morgue.
Maxie, Sam Spade.
Yeah, Sammy.
Deal's okay. Send it up. The address is...
Sam, wait.
Yeah?
Sam, he ain't here no more.
What happened?
Somebody claimed him. A girl. Said she's his daughter.
What did he do?
When I'm playing dead like you told him to.
Maxie, where did she send him?
Avalon Mortuary, corner of Lynch and Haight.
Okay, by the way...
Yes, Sammy?
Maxie, put some clean sheets in that morgue wagon, size 16. I may be your next passenger. At the Avalon Mortuary, the night watchman let me in. He said Mr. Korolenko's daughter had brought an overnight bag and was keeping a vigil by his beer in slumber room number 7. I approached on tiptoe. Just as I reached the door, I heard the most terrible sound I've ever heard. It was a buzzsaw biting into plaster. How deep, I didn't like to think. I did the first thing that popped into my head. I grabbed up a lamp from a console, smashed the bulb, and plunged it into a vase of flowers. As luck would have it, slumber room number 7 was on the same fuse box. As luck would not have it, I was facing a desperate woman in the dark. I hugged the carpet while she emptied her gun. I hoped she didn't have a spare. I forgot about the buzzsaw. The room lighted up momentarily from the lights inside my head, and I staggered back against the wall. I waited for her to get her bearings again. There was no hope of me getting mine. Then I heard a big hollow thud. The whole room shook and the lights went on. Poppy O'Farrell and or Paget lay on the floor under the stony weight of Korolenko plus 60 pounds of plaster.
Get up! Get up! You're crushing me!
I can't. I am so heavy.
You comfortable there, Korolenko?
Comfortable in such situation? Do you ask the turtle? Are he comfortable? Is Faker on bed of nails? Is equally here as elsewhere.
Yeah, okay. Just hold her there until I get a statement. And he did. Item, statement by the aforesaid.
It was like waking out of a nightmare you can't remember. Everything seemed out of proportion.
That was her story, and I had to admire the way she stuck to it. But if you keep trying, I'm sure she'll get back enough of her memory to confess that she planted the wheel of life in Korolenko's turtle shell when she decided to double-cross Shuggy and Lathrop. They never tumbled to her hiding place. They were gunning for Korolenko because they thought Poppy was working with him, which was true in a way, but not the way that they thought. That's why they tortured the doctor in an effort to learn Kay's whereabouts. I understand your boys have picked up the rest of the trio, and they can tell you everything except why I conceived the brilliant idea of having Korolenko play dead. Between you and me, amnesia's a handy little gadget to have around, Dundee. I'm trying to draw a few strategic blanks myself. Period. End of report.
Pardon me, Mr. Spade.
Yes.
There are just a few little coincidentals that I do not find entirely reprehensible.
Such as?
Well, I don't want to appear lucid or anything of that type.
Believe me, you doesn't. I mean donut.
Oh, you say the sweetest thing.
Hmm.
But it's about the wheel.
Oh, yes, the wheel. Well, I'll tell you what you do. You type that up. I've got a call in about that now.
Tonight, when you're making out your must-do list for tomorrow, why not include a reminder to get Wild Root Cream Oil for the hair? Honestly, man, you'll be delighted with the neat, natural way Wild Root Cream Oil grooms your hair, the way it relieves that annoying dryness and removes loose, ugly dandruff. Just try it and see if I'm not giving you a good steer. Make a note right now to call at your drug or toilet goods counter for Wild Root Cream Oil. Get the big economy bottle and the handy new tube that's easy to pack when you travel. Also, ask your barber for a professional application of Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic. Again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first.
Did you ascertain the lowdown on the Wheel of Life?
I certainly didn't. No, we won't know about that for 6 months. Because definitively, I mean definitely, that plastic cast has to stay on him. Doctor's orders, you know.
But I won't be here 6 months from now.
You can say that again.
But I won't be here 6 months from now.
Stop repeating yourself.
But you just said you can say that again.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Just as distinctly as if I was sitting here.
Uh-huh, that's what I like about you, Bernadine. A woman of distinction, that's what you are.
Well, if you want to take me dancing, why don't you just say so?
Bernadine.
It's leap year, and I always say discrimination is the better part of value.
You are absolutely corrupt.
Well, I'm glad I'm right about something. Good night, Mr. Spade.
Good night, now say if it kills me, sweetheart.
The Adventures of Sam Spade, Dashiell Hammett's famous private detective, are produced and directed by William Spear. Sam Spade is played by Howard Duff. The Adventures of Sam Spade are written for radio by Bob Tallman and Gil Dowd, with musical direction by Lud Gluskin. Gil Dowd directed tonight's broadcast in William Spear's absence. Join us again next Sunday for another Adventure with Sam Spade, brought to you by Wild Root Cream Oil. Again and again, the choice of men who put good grooming first. This is Dick Joy reminding you to
get Wild Root Cream Oil, Charlie. It keeps your hair in trim. You see, it's non-alcoholic, Charlie. It's made with soothing lanolin. You better get Wild Root Cream Oil, Charlie. Start using it today. You'll find that you will have a tough time, Charlie, keeping all the gals away.
Hiya, Baldy.
Get Wild Root right away.
It's yours now.
If you're thinking of volunteering for the U.S. Army or Air Force, here's a word of reassurance. As an Army and Air Force man, you'll become a skilled professional in a specialized field. The training you get will always be useful, not only in military, but in civilian life as well. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Sign up today.
You specialize in eating.
Yep.
Ooh, where do I sign up? I'm so angry.
That's not a good time to sign up for the military when you're angry. Eerie House Radio proudly presents Scars, Moral of the Story.
The plight of the smuggler, likened to a hot potato, isn't so much a fear of getting caught with it as much as a fear of not being able to get rid of it once you've got it.
Well, nature's calling, don't be stalling, use your common sense. Before you let it flow, find a place to go, just don't whiz on
the electric fence.
If you're gonna explode, you can use the commode in igloos, cave dwellings, or tents.
No need to explain when you got a drain.
Don't whiz on the electric fence. You can swizz around the sofa.
You piddle in the air.
Tinkle in the toilet.
That's why it is there.
You can let it rain in the breakdown lane while waving at ladies and gents. Don't whiz on,
don't whiz
on
the
electric fence. I do it. That sounded like witchy poo.
Kind of a little bit. Sorry, you need but ask sometimes. You need but ask.
I love Witchy Poo. H.R. Puffin stuff was freaking amazing with Witchy Poo. She had Seymour the Spider. She had something, the Vulture. And she had the Batty Bat. And just, oh my gosh. So much fun. And such a manic character, likened to myself.
I never thought of you as Witchy Poo.
No, I didn't go there either.
Yeah.
But you know what? I can see some of the resemblance there.
Yeah.
Around the eyes.
I've got the same. Yeah. The eyes, yeah. The nose, the chin.
Well, not the nose. That no, her nose was
no.
No, not the nose.
Oh. They had so much fun in the makeup chair, putting her together.
Yeah. Well, that had to be fun to make. I was not a fan of it when it was on. I might have been a little, like, starting to get, quote-unquote, too old for that.
Right.
And then I regressed.
And then they had, oh, gosh, I can't think of his name. It was not Paul in the, Charles Nelson Reilly as Hoodoo.
Oh, yeah.
On the Lidsville. And that was another manic character.
Yeah.
And that was the bad guys were hilarious.
Yeah. Kind of like Batman.
The good
Sigmund
guys were kind of lame.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah, oh, those two.
Well.
Yeah.
Sid and Marty Croft, I'm telling you.
I remember Sigmund. I liked Sigmund a little bit.
Yeah.
Probably
yeah, he was everybody's
monster.
Friend.
Yeah,
but he was everybody's friend.
He was the kind of the Casper of sea monsters, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Casper.
Yeah, because he had two uncles or two brothers that were doing dirty deeds, done dirt seaweed or something. I don't remember.
Yeah. So that was a good episode. Yeah, Howard Duff as Sam Spade, gotta be. He
yeah.
Is numero
yeah.
Uno.
I've heard
Sam
him in
Spade's
many different...
Name.
So what? What?
In this episode, they kept goofing around with Sam Spade's name a few different times.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was about.
Well, the one goofy...
I don't know, but as long as he got
lady
paid, he
at
didn't
the
care.
End was saying everything, yeah. Like, incorrectly. It was funny.
Oh yeah.
Her...
That was Bernadette. She took over for Effie. Effie was normally his Guy Friday, and she was on vacation, so they ended up with Bernadette, I think.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, Bernadette was
she was a funny
a
character.
I liked Effie better than Bernadette, though. But
right.
You know, I didn't have to work with her. Sam did.
That's right. But she was a bit
that's
of a
true.
Ditz. I mean, there's no nice way to say it. She was a bit ditzy.
But there was more romantic tension between Effie and Sam Spade than Bernadette.
Oh yeah, I think he was repelled by Bernadette, to be honest.
Yeah, I was like,
yeah, I think so.
I'll dance you right off a pier. Yeah, there you go.
Yes, it's true, Fogsbane. We have lost Larry Storch at age, as Dave said, let's just round it up. But he passed away at 99 and a half.
Yeah, round it up. Give him 100. Give him 100.
Yeah. I should, yep. You know, hey, give it to the guy. He went
round
that far.
Up.
Yeah, round it up.
Oh, that was a guy that said that. And then we also lost James Caan this week. Misery.
Yep.
Yes.
The Godfather.
Yeah. He died in a roller derby accident, I understand. Is that right?
No.
No. Oh, okay. My error. I don't know how. I think he passed away. Some Paul Newman salad dressing went down the wrong pipe, maybe. I don't know. I got those two mixed up. Paul Newman and the James Caan. I don't know why. I just constantly got them mixed up.
Secretly, they were the same guy. I think they were secretly the same
really?
Guy. Yeah.
There you go.
Watch the news. It'll come out now that he's gone.
we're making light of the dead. But, you know, dead is dead. I don't know what to tell you.
Too soon? Too soon? I don't know.
I want on my epitaph to it read, "Don't weep for me. I was here and now I'm not."
Yep.
There you go.
unless they have to clean up after you, then they're allowed to cry. You know, they gotta
the good thing about that, you only have to do that once, though, Dave, right?
That's true. But it's the one time you'll never forget.
Unlike
James Caan and Larry Storch, we have to get back on the Wheel of Life. And we
that's
terrible.
There you go.
Okay. We got rolling. CBS Radio Mystery Theater episode, strangely, on a Friday, called The Wheel of Life.
Yes. And there is a wheel of life involved in this one.
With an air date of March 13th, 1978.
Episode number 797, to be exact.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Marshall, what are your chances of being struck by lightning? Well, here's a happier thought. What are your chances of winning the sweepstakes? Actually, in what is called the game of life, the odds are about the same that either event will come to pass. That is, assuming that the game of life is on the level and that the big wheel isn't fixed.
What may I do for you, my son?
Where am I?
This is the place where spins the Wheel of Life.
The Wheel of Life?
Where each man's fate is cast and may be changed.
Oh.
What is it you wish, my son?
Oh, nothing.
Are you sure you want nothing?
Well, now that you ask, I'd like to be the President of the United States.
Very well, my son. You shall become President of the United States.
Our mystery drama, The Wheel of Life, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Russell Horton and Lloyd Batista. It is sponsored in part by Sinoff, the Sinus Medicines, and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
The Electra's all washed and loaded, and you're on your way.
You figured 300 miles the first day, but with all of Electra's luxury and room, you're out 400 miles before you know it. Not only that, but the EPA mileage estimates are 22 highway, 15 city, and 18 combined. That's with the standard 5.7-liter engine and automatic transmission. Of course, your mileage will vary depending on how and where you drive, your car's condition, and how it's equipped. And EPA estimates are lower in California. But it's nice to know that a car with as much prestige and elegance as Electra can also be efficient. Buick Electra, a car that can actually make you look forward to a long trip.
They surely will have found you. The amazing things you see. The cars they built, the ones of us. How can such things be?
Electra models are equipped with GM-built engines supplied by various divisions. See your dealer for details.
The Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority presents Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
I thought we might vacation in Las Vegas this year, Charlie. You know it's the entertainment capital of the world.
Yeah, I can hardly wait to see those beautiful Las Vegas showgirls.
But there's more to do in Las Vegas than sit by the stage and watch girls. Don't forget there are things to do in the daytime, too.
Sure, sit by the pool and watch the girls.
All right. Besides swimming, there's golf, tennis, and being out in that clear desert air makes one more, handsome.
Yeah? Did you ever see a camel? Hey, how will we get there, Bergen?
Well, the Las Vegas airport is just on the edge of town, so I thought we would fly.
I'll fly when I get there.
They have more than 38,000 beautifully decorated rooms.
Speaking of beautiful decorations, you know, I wonder how I do get a date with a showgirl.
Well, let's call our travel agent right now for reservations.
Yeah, tell him to reserve me a blonde.
Girls, always girls.
I hope so.
Why are so many of the good things in life a matter of chance? Why should chance decide whether we're born rich or poor, handsome or ugly, wise or dull? We meet and marry, or do not meet and marry, by chance. Are we not saved or doomed by chance? Doesn't the fate of the entire world depend on chance? Why? Well, an hour from now, we may know the answer. Then again, we may not. That's the chance we take. It is the night of April 4th, 1968. We are somewhere in Vietnam.
Louis?
Yeah.
Where are the rest of the guys?
Well, they should be right behind us.
Yeah. Now what?
Look. Just off to the left.
What about it?
I see some blood. Maybe nothing. We gotta find out. You stay here.
Hey, I ain't let you gonna go by yourself.
It only needs one man.
So why should it be you?
Because I thought of it. Now cover me.
Get booty.
I'm going.
Down, Booty. Get down.
Joe. I'm hit.
I'm coming for you, Booty. I'm coming.
And now for the news. On this fourth day of April, 1978, from Washington, D.C., comes information that...
April the 4th. I forgot about that. Funny. I used to think I could never forget that day. But I did. 10 years. Ludi would have been what? He'd have been 33. What's the use thinking about that? I'll try for another couple of more fares and get something to eat.
Taxi!
Sorry, pal. I'm off duty. Gotta eat. Plenty of other cabs around, pal.
Well, I don't want another one. I want yours, Joe.
Well, what's so special about... Hey, how'd you know my name?
I've been looking all over for you, Joe.
Who?
Where am I? Come inside. I'll buy you a drink.
Just hold it there. What's your name?
My name?
Yeah, you seem to know mine. What's yours?
Rudy.
Yeah? Rudy who?
Well, how many people did you ever know named Rudy?
Well, I got an uncle Rudy, who you ain't. A cousin Rudy, you ain't him neither. I have a sister who went with a guy Rudy, but he was a bald little fat guy. That about winds it up with the Rudys.
Well, how about Rudy Kastner?
Which Rudy Kastner?
Well, how many Rudy Castners did you know?
My buddy in Vietnam?
That was me.
That was you. You don't look like Rudy Castner.
Well, people change in 10 years, Joe.
You don't sound like Rudy. You talk like a college professor.
Well, I spent 4 of the past 10 years in school.
Sure. Well, even if we didn't have the first two, we still got the last reason.
Yes?
Yeah, Rudy Castner is dead.
He is?
Yeah, pal, so that knocks you right out of the box.
The fact still remains, however. I'm Rudy Castner.
You're trying to tell me come back from the dead?
No.
No?
Well, how could I come back if I was never dead to begin with?
Pal, I'm trying to tell you, you struck out. Rudy Castner is dead.
You're positive Rudy is dead?
Rudy Castner was killed April the 4th, 1968, in Vietnam. I was there. I seen him get hit. I seen him go down.
But Rudy Castner did not die.
Yeah, okay, pal, that's your story. Now, if you'll just be good enough to get out of my way, I gotta chow down.
Hey, aren't you even the slightest bit curious, Joe?
No, pal, I ain't curious, not at all.
Now, look, just listen to me.
Ah, here it comes, the pitch. Yeah, I knew you was working a racket.
A racket?
Well, what else? Yours has got to be spiritualism, am I right?
Wrong.
Don't waste your sales pitch on me, pal. I'm lucky if I take home $100, $100.50 a week. I pay the rent, I have a couple of beers, lose a couple of bets. There ain't nothing left for you to swindle.
Joseph, you and I have got to sit down for a long talk.
Hey, you see that guy standing over there by the bookstore? His name's Polanski. He's a plainclothes cop. You want me to call him over and introduce you?
Joe.
He's got that lean and hungry look, which means he ain't had a collar in maybe a week. A confidence operator would just about make his day.
You'd actually turn me over to the police?
I've never been a squealer in my life, but a guy like you, a guy who tries to trade in on the dead, cash in on the memory of a buddy, get out of my way.
Joe.
I ought to punch you in the nose.
But Joe,
say
you...
that.
You want another drink, Joe?
No, I'm fine, Jenny.
The game will be on in a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
What do you like, Joe?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, Eddie's been in. He says you can have the Giants. Joe?
What?
Something the matter?
No, nothing's the matter.
Are you sure?
I think I need another drink, Jenny.
Oh, no. A drink's the last thing you need when you got the blues.
Who says I got the blues?
What's bothering you?
Nothing.
Tell me.
I'm not sure I want to talk about it.
Well, talk about what?
The war.
Oh.
Ah. See what I mean? You just gave it away.
Oh, no, Joey. I'm interested. Really?
I don't know. You think about the guys you were with. Good guys. Who never came back.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me a minute, Joe. I got that party of four down the other end.
Yeah, sure.
You know who she resembles, Joe?
Who?
That girl, Sheila.
Sheila?
You remember when we were sent back for 10 days R&R in Australia?
Hey, wait a minute.
And we ran into her in a bar?
Just hold it.
That was the first time you and I ever got into a fight.
Just a second.
Each of us claimed to have seen her first.
How would you know?
I was there.
But...
And when she heard my name was Rudy, she called me Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And she called you Jojo.
And then she called over her girlfriend, Marcella.
No, Melissa.
Right.
And then we got into a fight over which one of us would get her.
And I won.
No, we both lost.
That's right. While we were busy knocking each other around, a couple of Marines walked out of the joint with both of them.
You do remember, don't you, Joe?
But how would you know?
Now, that was the first day of April. And we looked at each other and we said...
April Fool.
And on the second day of April, we flew back to Vietnam.
And on the third day of April, we were in combat.
And on the fourth day...
Yeah, I remember.
We were on patrol.
That's right.
It was very dark and so quiet. And I thought I saw something over to the left.
How do you know this?
I said, cover me.
Yeah, you were hit.
Yes, I was hit.
I ran out to get you.
Did you?
But I got hit in the leg.
Oh?
Yeah. Here, I'll show you the scar.
No, I believe you.
I must have passed out. The medics came and got me. They said they couldn't find you. Where you fell, it was a swamp.
Yes.
And they figured you must have sunk down out of sight. How come you didn't drown?
I thought I did.
You thought?
I just quit fighting it. You know, that struggling to keep alive. And then I just didn't know anything or feel anything.
That's how it feels to be dead, huh?
Yeah, but I wasn't dead. because I opened my eyes and... Well, I was lying on a mat made out of straw. And an elderly Vietnamese woman, you know, one of those old mama-sans.
Yeah, yeah.
A million wrinkles on her face and not one tooth in her head, but the kindest eyes. Well, she was putting a pad of something on my shoulder. It felt good, and I became aware of a humming sound.
Humming? Like bees?
Mm, like voices. And then I heard clicking sounds.
Clicking?
Yeah, nothing was loud. Everything seemed so subdued. Now, the old mama-san saw me trying to sit up, so she helped me. And then I saw the whole thing.
What whole thing?
The room. Well, it wasn't a room exactly, but a huge circular space. It seemed to be underground. There were men with shaved heads. They wore long red robes. They sat on the floor, and each man held an abacus.
A what?
A square wooden frame with strings running horizontally across it. And on the strings were beads.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I seen a guy with one in a Chinese laundry. They use it to add and subtract.
And the click, click I'd been hearing was the sound of the beads being moved on the abacus. And I looked up. On the ceiling, I could see a painted wheel. An enormous ceiling in the shape of a wheel, filled with pictures of men and women and animals. It was turning. Slowly. I heard a voice.
It is the wheel of life.
It was a very old man in a long red robe. He had skin like fine parchment and deep black eyes. Oh, you could lose yourself in those eyes.
Yes, my son. It is the wheel of life.
Yeah, but what is the wheel of life?
It is the prism that binds us to earthly things. We go from one incarnation to another. Foolishly, we seek glory, fame, wealth. Do you follow?
I think so.
But when we acquire true wisdom, we realize that our quest should be to achieve freedom from the wheel.
Freedom?
Freedom to become one with the great harmony of the universe.
Oh, what does that mean?
We are no longer concerned with earthly striving.
Well, what are we concerned with?
Nothing.
Nothing, sir?
The nothing which is everything. So, are you ready for the great peace, the all-consuming happiness, my son?
Frankly, I don't think so.
Then you shall die and be born again, still a prisoner, bound to the wheel.
When will I die?
Within the hour. You shall be born again for another weary turn of the wheel, another life spent in useless striving.
But I don't want to die.
You have gone from existence to existence since time began. And here you are now, killed in some nameless skirmish, in an incomprehensible war.
I had such dreams.
Vanity, my son. You find the word in every creed.
I wanted to do great things. I wanted to make the world a better place. And I know how to do it. If only...
Yes?
Well, if only... If only I could become the President of the United States.
You wish to become President of the United States?
I know how stupid that sounds. I must be delirious.
If you wish to become President of the United States, perhaps we shall change your fate.
What are you saying?
And you shall become President of the United States.
Just like that, huh? Well, stranger things have been known to happen. All kinds of people have become president. And when they were in their early 20s, who and what were they? Peanut farmers, haberdashery clerks, laborers, just about anybody. This develops further in Act Two shortly.
We're going to stick our neck out and tell you something.
It's hard to mix with Arrow. Arrow shirt.
And the reason is so simple.
America's shirt maker is Arrow shirt.
America's shirt maker has done it again with what is probably the best shirt collar ever made. Arrow's patented custom collar, and only Arrow's got it. It's a whole inch wider at the bottom than the top, just like your neck is. It's adjustable by a full half inch, and it's got a special notch so the neck band doesn't show over your top.
America's shirt maker is Arrow shirt.
See why we're sticking our neck out. Stick your neck into an Arrow custom collar.
America's shirt maker.
Not already your shirt maker. We ought to be.
Arrow shirts.
You ought to be.
Now add in Target. What?
Like, around here, we had Clarkins back then.
Oh, yeah. Clarkins. We had Clarkins. We had what else? Giant Tiger.
Zayers.
Yeah.
Zayers, yeah. Roses. I don't know if you guys had Roses.
No.
It's a department store.
What do we call that? Kruskies? Kruskies? Oh, Kruskies, yes.
Kruskies. Later turned into Kmart.
Yep.
Which later turned into Bank City, yeah.
In this wonderful, positive society we live in, someone came up with a groundbreaking product. Instead of fortune cookies, misfortune cookies.
Ooh,
wow.
That sounds like a future segment.
one of them, they cracked it open and it says, at least I believe in you, me, a piece of paper.
Well, that's cute. That's a nice fortune.
Yeah. It's misfortune cookies. It says misfortune cookies, they bite back.
Ooh.
Oh, wow. And I'm telling, not selling. I just ran across this, and I was like, "What, really?" So it's funny.
That is a good idea. I like that. Misfortune cookies.
The dark humored biscuit that bites back.
That's a winner, though. That's a keeper.
Available at Amazon.com. Yeah. So there you go.
Are they really
misfortune? Yeah, misfortune cookies. I just saw it today, and I was like, "What, really?" You guys are so dark. All right. Oh, man. Misfortune. And what's worse is we're kicking ourselves in the head because we didn't think of it. Come on.
Yep.
Yeah,
we could have thought of that.
But we didn't. At least not quickly enough. So we'll have to steal. No, I'm kidding. A very good story here from CBS Radio Mystery Theater. No surprise there.
This is a little bit weird. Go ahead.
I mean, I can't die. I want to be president.
Yeah.
Well, Dale, since you were in the military, I don't know. Because I was in the military and I'm a disabled vet and all that other stuff, I myself have had friends, people I've met that are now friends that were Vietnam vets, and that's some rough stuff there.
Yeah.
Have you known any, Dale? Have you met any?
Yes. I worked with a guy in a I was in Tool and Die back in the day. And two of them, actually, were Vietnam-era guys. They were just a little bit older than me. And one guy, he had some nervous tics, and he just said, I'm nervous from the service. That was his byline.
Mm-hmm.
The other guy was just a grumpy kind of guy, but you know, they had bad memories. Let's put it that way.
Right, and
it's pretty clear they had some bad memories.
What I got out of this story so far, what I was understanding it is, that when you run across somebody in that circumstance where you're under fire, you're okay. So you make social familiar inroads with these people to the point where they are your brother. They are, you know, someone that is now part of who you are. And if someone rolled up to you and said, "Yeah, I'm that guy," and you'd go, "What? No, you're not. I don't know who you are." That's a little weird.
Yeah.
Well, you were sure the guy died back in the time.
You don't believe
it could be him because you were sure that he died.
Well, that was one, but the other is apparently doesn't even look like the guy.
Well, 10 years can change it. Can change it a lot, especially go under the knife, you know.
I'm 10 pounds heavier, so yeah, okay. You got me there.
I sure uglied up over the years.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's nature's answer to camouflage.
Well,
how about
cool.
that? Age, you know. I, some people that knew me would look at me and go, "No, there you are. You're in there somewhere." maybe.
Don't let him out.
Yeah.
Don't let him out. Keep him in.
It's too late. He's free. Running about Erie House as we present to you a great tale from CBS Radio Mystery Theater called The Wheel of Life. Let us continue, shall we? On
the show
of three.
Uh-huh. I'm E.G. Marshall, host of the Mystery Theater. One of the greatest of all surgeons, Sir William Osler, said, "The desire to take medicine is perhaps the greatest feature which distinguishes men from the animals." And so what can we say about those people who have high blood pressure and neglect to take the simple medications that can prevent them from becoming invalids, that can let them enjoy life to the fullest? The thing defies all logic and reason. But some people who need medication think they can do other things to get their blood pressure down, such as watch their diet, get exercise, go to the South Seas. Well, they are mistaken. If your doctor has given you medication, that means you have to keep taking it every day, no matter what else you do. But just in case you are a tinge confused about what you should be doing to keep your blood pressure down, why not see your doctor again? After all, we do love our audience.
A message from the National High Blood Pressure Education Program.
Account for things. Is it all a matter of luck or fate or chance? And in a way, don't all those words really mean the same thing? Since the dawn of time, man has always asked why, and he has waited for the answer. Is it possible that Rudy Kastner is finding the answer?
You shall become president of the United States.
I will.
Yes. In 27 years, on your 50th birthday.
My 50th birthday? How can I live to be 50? How can I even live another hour? I got this bullet inside me.
It need not kill you if your fate has been changed.
But how can my fate be changed?
You see these people? These devout priests? These disciples of karma?
Karma,
the sum total of all the deeds and acts that make up fate. And every act and every deed is recorded and added. One gives rise to another, and thus we have the pattern of fate.
How is my fate going to be changed?
All the acts, the deeds, the desires, see how they are being added and subtracted and multiplied.
Oh, those things.
I know that in the part of the world you come from, they have huge, gleaming machines called computers. the abacus has served a purpose since the beginning of all things.
But how am I going to become president?
Even as we talk, someone's fingers will move faster or slower. The piece of metal within you shrinks away from the heart. Other thoughts, ideas are being created within your brain and in the minds and hearts of countless other human beings. And in 27 years, they shall come together to make you president of the United States.
But why? Why are you doing this for me?
Why? Because you asked me to.
I don't understand.
And perhaps to teach you that whatever you shall become in this existence, this false and vain existence, makes no difference. Mighty president or lowly peasant, you shall still be a slave to the wheel.
And that's what happened.
That's what happened.
17 years to go.
Mm-hmm. 17 years to go to what?
Haven't you been listening? Till I become president.
Oh, that.
You don't believe it happened, do you, Joe?
Well, I believe you believe it happened, Rudy.
Now, Joe.
It was kind of dark. The swamp was pretty overgrown. Okay, they couldn't find you. So you were laying there unconscious. This old Mama Sand come along. She saved your life.
It happened, Joe. It happened.
Sure.
I know it sounds far off.
Look, Rudy, I'm sure it's real as far as you're concerned.
No matter how far-fetched it seems.
Far-fetched? Hey, what you told me is nothing. I'm a cab driver. You should hear the stories people tell me.
Is that what this is to you? Just another story a cab driver gets to listen to?
Oh, I didn't mean it that way, Rudy. Exactly.
You did. But I expected that. I'll convince you because it's happening already.
Yeah?
There's been a change in me over these past 10 years.
What kind of change?
Joe, I feel power. When we first met, I was just one of millions. I felt no different than anyone else. In this world, there's a we and a they. We is most people. They are the ones with power. Do you understand?
So?
They run business, the government, everything. They have power. It's as if they're an entirely different race of men. Look, can you follow this?
So?
So I'm one of the they now, Joe.
Oh, yeah. Well, how do you know?
I just know it, Joe.
Okay, if you say so.
You don't know what to make of it all, do you? I know you don't believe it. You'd be crazy if you did, without proof, on just my word. But as time goes on, things will happen.
Things?
Things are happening already.
Like what?
A new political movement. It's called Forward America.
Forward America?
Have you heard of it?
No, but I don't mix much in politics.
But you should, Joe. Politics is the lifeblood of our system.
Well, what is this Forward America about?
Well, it's a way of looking at things. I wrote an essay that's attracted considerable attention among many people.
Well, what kind of people?
All kinds. Business, labor, young folks, senior citizens.
Say, you want another drink?
Are you changing the subject, Joe?
I'll tell you what I'll do, Rudy. If you run for president...
Not if I run. When I run.
Yeah, okay. When you run, I'll vote for you. How's that?
I want more, Joe.
More?
Yes. Much more.
Well, what more can I give you? I don't have any money worth talking about. I got no education.
Do you know what I want?
I can't begin to imagine.
I want you.
Me?
Yes, Joe. You.
Well, I don't know what...
When you're up there, Joe, you have to have someone you can trust. Every day, I attract new friends, associates, allies. They all want to be part of this crusade.
Crusade?
And the symbolic sense that we're trying to find a new spirit for America. And do you know how we're going to find it?
Not exactly.
By revitalizing the old one.
Oh.
And I've known only one person I can trust. Completely. That I could trust my life to. As a matter of fact, I've already done so on more than one occasion. And that person's you.
Yeah, but that's when we were in combat.
We're in combat now. We have to save this country.
Yeah, okay. Well, what do you want me to do?
I want you to come with me.
Where?
On the Forward America Crusade.
And do what?
Be my right-hand man. My adjutant.
Well, I still have to work for a living.
Yeah, do you?
I still got 24 payments to make on that cab of mine.
The Crusade now has money.
Money?
I told you. We're attracting attention, support, contributions are coming in. For the first time, my staff and I are able to devote our full time to the Crusade.
Rudy, everything is happening a little too fast for me.
Yeah, I can understand. But remember, we have time. We still have 17 years. There'll be 17 years of working, of victories and defeats. We shall go stronger and stronger and finally prevail.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't expect you to join me tonight. You need time to think and to put things together in your mind.
This Forward America thing of yours, Rudy.
Yeah?
Just what does it stand for?
Well, it stands for Forward America.
Sure, but what does it mean?
Well, what do you think it means?
Well, like justice for everybody, everything? Is that what it stands for?
Certainly. If that's what you think it stands for, that's what it stands for.
But aren't you saying what it stands for?
Oh, no. Not yet.
Well, I don't understand. Since it's your baby, why shouldn't you tell people what it's all about?
Oh, no. Never.
Well, why not?
The way to attract people is not to tell them what you want.
No?
But to let them think they're telling you what they want.
I don't think I follow all that.
Well, right now, Forward America is many things to many people. Everyone interprets it his own way, according to his own ideas, his own needs.
But you have to say something definite.
It doesn't have to be definite, as long as it sounds definite.
Yeah, I guess that's the way politics is.
Look, Joe, I'm going to leave you alone for a little while. We'll talk again soon. I need you, Joe.
Rudy,
I know where to find you. Good night, Joe. And just be thinking about it.
Hey, wait a
minute. I'll be seeing you.
Who is your friend?
My friend?
Yeah, the guy you were talking to.
Then it's true.
What's true?
I mean, there was a guy standing here. I was talking to him.
Joe, are you all right?
Just give me a refill, Jenny.
No, I ain't so sure that's a good idea.
I was just hoping it was a dream.
Was a dream.
That I was standing here talking to a guy, but wait, it's true. He was here.
And the two of you were chewing the fat for the better part of an hour. Very hush-hush it was, too. What was it about?
Nothing at all.
I was right. It's something shady.
Jenny, you...
I seen that guy come in here, and I said to myself, this is a wrong bird.
What do you mean?
Listen, is there a better judge of character than me?
Well...
And when I see the two of you with your heads together, I say to myself, what kind of phony merchandise is that one trying to sell my boy, Joe?
No, it's nothing like that.
Oh, come on. Level with me, Joe. What's his racket?
Well, it's not a racket, Jenny. It's only politics.
You see? I was right the first time.
Actually, the guy was an old army buddy of mine. I thought he was dead.
Yeah?
Yeah, his name is Rudy Kastner.
Rudy Kastner, huh? Well, one day I know I'll see it in the paper. You'll read where he's been sent to jail.
To jail?
Yeah, for some kind of swindle. Oh, Joe, keep away from him, huh? You're an honest, hard-working guy. He's bad medicine.
Jenny, what would you say if I told you that this guy is going to be president of the U.S. one day?
Yeah? Well, the day that happens, I'd move to Canada. No, Canada ain't far enough away. How about one of them countries like Afghanistan or someplace?
One thing we find out as we drift through life, not everybody likes everybody else, which is why we have horse racing, among other things. However, the stakes in our story are infinitely greater. We're talking about what could quite possibly be the fate of the nation.
We'll learn more when I return with Act 3 shortly.
I'm chewing gum again. Big deal? It is to me. I had to give up gum because it stuck to my dental work. But with Free Dent Gum from Wrigley's, I can enjoy chewing gum again. It doesn't stick. Fact is, until I found Free Dent, I'd forgotten how fresh and clean my mouth and breath could feel anytime. Free Dent in peppermint and spearmint. You'll like it.
Feel free to chew Free Dent.
It won't stick to most dental work.
Free Dent Gum.
1 p.m., July 12, 1979. In 24 hours, the Masada plan will toll destruction for the world's nine largest cities. The Masada plan, a tense, terror-filled novel by Leonard Harris, presenting the ultimate solution to the turmoil of the Mideast. Only the beautiful, famous TV journalist Kate Colby can stop the Masada plan. But first, she must betray the man she loves. Read the Masada plan. In paperback from Popular Library.
This is WBBM Chicago. The following is a paid political
sure,
announcement.
It would be nice if you could do it. Vote for him twice. Because I know you'd like to. He's that kind of guy. I'm talking about Dan Hales, a friend, who wants to be your congressman from the 10th District. Come to think of it, you will be able to vote for him twice. And legally, too. It's true. On March 21st, you can vote for Dan Hales so he can run against Mikva. Then in November, you can vote for Dan Hales again, so he can take Mikva's place and be what a congressman should be, your representative. That's what Dan Hales wants to be, your congressman from the 10th District. Vote for him the first time on March 21st, and your vote will help give him Hales. Dan Hales, the kind of guy you'd like to vote for twice, and in all likelihood will give him Hales.
This was authorized and paid for by Citizens for Dan Hales, S.C. McNair, Treasurer.
Today's word of the day, myocardial infarction. All right.
I'm going to vote for him 17 times.
Exactly.
Look,
I'm going to vote for him 26 times.
Look in 26. Chicago.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, in Chicago. Oh. There's a lot of votes that get counted. As such, yeah.
At least in the old gangster days.
Yep, the old daily days, yeah.
Yep. That was always the gag about Chicago voting. Now it's shooting. But anyway. On that cheerful note.
It gets deeper, doesn't it, that story? Deeper, deeper, deeper.
It does. This guy's going through quite a bit on his journey to perhaps becoming the president of the United States. Is it a dream of unfulfilled wishes? Who knows? Who knows?
On the upside, he does sound like a politician.
Oh, he does now. Not so much at the beginning, but he does now.
Right. Yeah.
He's following that dream. Or vision, or perhaps Oracle. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to find out with part 3, The Wheel of Life. Let's wrap this baby up.
Let's do that. Extra time, too. Fun, coming.
We'll be back right after this.
There is, as they say, a time and a place for everything. Agreed. However, who controls the bringing together of the time and the place? When John says to Mary, "Meet me in the lobby of the Waldorf at noon on Thursday," when was that appointment really made? At the point where the idea in John's brain activated John's voice? Or was that appointment foreordained, perhaps, at the very beginning of time? It's all a very tricky business.
Look, Jenny, Rudy Keston was my old army buddy. He was a great guy.
Yeah?
Yeah, he was one of the best.
What did you know about him?
Everything.
Well, what's everything? You
You guys who are such great buddies in the Army, how long does it last after you get out?
Well,
you go your own way, and all you had was a couple of years you knew each other in the service.
That's life, I guess.
What did this Rudy do before he joined up?
We went to school, then he had a job.
Doing what?
Well, I don't know, this and that. Look, both of us, we weren't hardly more than kids. What did we ever have a chance to do?
Well, what's he been doing since?
I told you, he's been in politics. He's got this Forward America thing.
Yeah. Well, Joe, you just watch your step here.
Why? What can happen? Stay up till 3 in the morning.
Listen, Joe, tune in the TV.
What for?
That guy, this old army buddy of yours.
Rudy?
He's on the show.
What show?
This dame who talks to all kinds of nutty people.
Rudy's on the TV?
What do you think I'm trying to tell you?
And what is Forward America, Mr. Kastner?
Well, what do you think it is?
I would assume it's a movement designed to forward the American way of life. Am I right?
I couldn't have said it better myself. And I'll tell you where it all came to me. It was the night of April the 4th, 1968. I was lying in a swamp in Vietnam. I had been wounded in an ambush and left for dead. There was a bullet in my heart.
A bullet in your heart?
An enemy bullet. This has since been certified medically. Proof in signed and attested copies is available to all who write to ask.
But a bullet in
your heart? I lay there dying. My life ebbing away quickly. And I prayed. Oh, till that night, I had never been a religious person. But suddenly, I was praying.
Yes?
I said, please, spare me. Not for myself, but for my country. My great and glorious country. Let me come back to live for my country, to work for my country. Oh, I want to die for my country, but not yet. Not before my work is done.
And what work is this?
The work of Forward America.
Oh.
And the miracle came to pass.
The miracle?
Yes, the miracle. My life was spared. The bullet did not kill me. But it is lodged there. And it shall remain there always to remind me of my mission. To remind me in the world that heaven has smiled upon my mission, has blessed me, so that I may work night and day to forward America.
Yes. Well, I'm afraid our time is just about up.
Hello, Joe.
Rudy.
May I come in? Thank you.
I was on my way out. I was headed for Jenny's. Hey, come on. I'll buy you a couple.
No, no, thank you, Joe. That's why I came here. I can't go to Jenny's.
What's the matter with Jenny's?
Or any saloon, for that matter.
Well, why not?
My image. I must begin to create the image of an abstainer. No alcohol, tobacco.
Hey, this don't sound like the old Rudy.
Yeah, but I'm not the old Rudy.
Look, I don't know much about it, but I figure people like a president who's a regular guy. You know what I mean?
Precisely. But not if I'm going to be a master.
A who?
A master.
What does that mean?
What do you think it means, Joseph?
Well, if it means what I think it means, I'm not so sure I like the idea.
Joe, don't you see how everything's out of control?
Well...
And why? People are unable to decide their own destiny. People don't care.
I wouldn't say that.
People don't want to run their own lives. They want all the hard decisions to be made by others. All the responsibility to rest on others.
Yeah, but people don't want somebody telling them what to do.
You're wrong, Joe. They do.
And you're going to be that someone?
Why not? I'll be good for the people. I'll see that all are treated fairly.
It just don't sound right.
Oh, why not?
Well, it's like one of them dictatorships.
Joe, don't be afraid of that word. People want to be dictated to.
Huh. And this is what Forward America is all about.
Essentially, yes.
Well, then why don't you say so?
I will say so.
When?
At the proper time.
And when will that be?
When I think people are ready for it.
Rudy, I don't know if I like the idea.
It has to come, Joe. If I don't take power at the proper time, someone else will.
Hey,
I'm doing this for all of us. That's why you have to help me. You're the one person in the whole world I can trust.
Yeah, but
you're
still
the only person I've ever said these things to.
I don't like the whole idea.
It's because you don't understand it yet. But you will. We have time. Plenty of time.
Your pal Rudy, he's a phony.
No, Jan.
Oh, look, I've seen his type before. The country's full of these two-bit politicians who got all kinds of big ideas.
He's different, Jenny.
How is he different? Why is he different?
He is going to be president 17 years from today.
Joe, you know what I think?
Yeah, I should see a doctor.
All these phony organizations, all these clowns running around.
He ain't a clown, Jenny. People thought Hitler was a clown, and Mussolini, they even looked like clowns. I know about this guy, Jen. He is going to make it.
Well, why are you so sure?
If I told you, you'd get on the phone right now and send the guys with the white coats. Hello?
Joe?
Yeah.
Were you sleeping?
No.
Look, Joe, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. Funny?
It scares me. And the way you talk.
About what?
About who? About this Rudy Kastner.
Oh.
I'm scared, Joe.
Yeah. I'm scared of him, too.
No, not of him. I'm scared of what the idea of him is doing to you. Joe, he's just one of a thousand nuts running around the country.
Okay, Jenny.
So, why don't you just forget about him, huh?
Sure. Sure thing, Jen.
Night, Joe.
Good night, Jenny. Yeah. Maybe I should forget about him. That crazy story about all them bald-headed guys in long red robes and the things, them abacuses or whatever. Why can't I forget? Why? Why? Yes, my son? What do you wish? I'm here. It's the place Rudy told me about.
Rudy?
This room, this big round room. And all those bald-headed guys.
Excuse me.
What is it you wish, my son? We so rarely receive a visitor.
And those things, those abacuses or whatever.
Why have you come here?
I'm dreaming.
Of course. But why have you come here?
How can I be here if it's only a dream?
Does it matter how you come? In what state? All is illusion. Awake or asleep, we are a dream. A dream of the great and holy conscious one, whose light fills the universe.
Yeah, well, whatever you say. But the fact is, I'm dreaming.
It doesn't matter. You are here. Why have you come?
A guy named Rudy Kastner was here 10 years ago. You remember?
I do.
He said you promised things would be arranged so that in 17 years, he'll be the president of the United States.
Yes?
Well, that mustn't happen.
No?
No, it'll be bad for the country. Why do you grant a wish like that anyhow?
Because he asked it.
Yeah, I realize,
we
but
spin out the fates. We begin in the eternity of yesterday. In the beginning, which has no beginning. We shall continue till the eternity of tomorrow. Till the ending, which has no ending. Does it matter in the sum of things which has no total? Who holds what office?
Yes, it does.
No, my son. It only matters to be freed from the wheel of life.
Yeah. Yeah, Rudy told me about that. I know how that works.
And have you come here to be set free?
Well, no. Not at this time. I just don't want Rudy to become president 17 years from now.
Very well.
Are you saying okay?
As I have said, it does not matter in the scheme of things.
Then he won't become president?
If you don't want him to.
for that. Hey, that's. Why are you doing this for me?
Because you asked for it.
Well, what's going to happen?
Even now, someone's fingers on the abacus will move faster or slower. Even now, the deeds, the acts, the dreams, the desires are changing. Changing. Fate, destiny is being changed.
Who's going to become president 17 years from now?
As I have already told you, it doesn't matter.
But it does matter.
Very well, my son. Whom do you wish?
Who do I wish?
Yes. Who should be entrusted with that office?
You want to know something? The only person I can think of offhand right now who could be trusted to do the right thing by everybody is me.
How much better it would have been had you chosen to be rid of the wheel. But if that is your wish, then even now, fate is being recast.
What's the matter, Joe?
I didn't sleep all last night. Just put 16 hours behind the wheel.
Why don't you go home and get some shut-eye?
I just want to hear the news on the TV. Turn up the sound on the set, will you?
Yeah, sure.
The other night, we interviewed Rudy Kastner, aspiring and attractive political leader. He spoke of the miracle that had taken place to preserve him to carry out his great mission. But it was not to be. For the past 10 years, Rudy Kastner has walked around with a bullet in his heart. Suddenly, last night, the miracle was over. Rudy Kastner died. And we will never know what forward America would have become.
Turn it off.
Imagine a thing like that.
I'm scared, Jenny.
What have you got to be scared about?
Jenny, am I good enough?
Oh, you're good enough for me, Joe.
Am I good enough to be president?
Oh, sure. And what's more, you've got to be president, too.
Jenny, how did you know?
All the guys come in here, Joe. Everybody says you should run for president.
They do?
For sure. Who would make a better president of the cab drivers union than you?
Oh, that. But Jenny, how good would I be as president of the United States?
Oh, Joe, you'd be great as president of anything.
Yeah. Well, hey, how'd you like to be first lady?
And so now, I suppose, you want to know what happened. Did he? Obviously, we won't know until 17 years have gone by. However, if he does, then remember, you heard about it first right here on our program. And if you want some more first-hand information, I'll be back shortly.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablet?
No, it relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure, and post-nasal drip. And it has added strength.
You mean added strength sign-off?
Exactly.
Added strength sign-off tablets give you pure pain reliever plus 50% more sinus drainer.
For sinus pressure?
Uh-huh. And twice as much sinus dryer.
Ah, for post-nasal drip.
Right. Plus that full dose of pure aspirin for sinus headache pain. Added strength sign-off helps sinus pain while you drain.
I like that.
You'll like this, too. Sign-off, once a day sinus spray. The fastest known form of sinus congestion relief. Works in seconds, yet lasts hours longer than the leading mist. Once a day, once a night does it.
S-I-N-E-O-S-S. Sign-off.
Added strength tablets and once a day sinus spray. The sinus medicine's in a bright red box. Take when needed, only as directed.
Look for that bright red box.
How it turns steadily from one existence to another. And each turn does not bring us freedom, but more striving. Are we doomed to ride on it forever? Or does that day come when finally we have acquired the wisdom to abandon all vanity and become part of the harmony
of the universe. Until that moment comes, you better stay with us. Our cast included Lloyd Batista, Russell Horton, and Bryna Rayburn. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
A finger crooked, beckoning to me. Beckoning.
Linda, what is it? What happened?
I fell asleep, and Miss Corey somehow got out of the room, and I don't know. She says she saw something.
Corey, what did you see? Tell me. Corey, it's Phil.
Mother. Mother. Standing in the middle of the hall.
Oh, Corey, baby, there was no one there. It couldn't have been Mother. You know, Mother. Mom is...
I know. She's dead. And it's all my fault. That's why she's beckoning to me. She wants me to be dead. And I want to be dead, too.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Sinoff, the sinus medicines.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
This is Frank Blair for Delta Airlines. I'd like to put in a word for those fine Delta professionals who go that extra mile to give everyone a great trip. Like reservations agent Rena Blessinger. She's been answering the Delta phones for 15 years, and she has the answers to all your travel questions. And customer services agent Terry Cooper, an 8-year Delta veteran. He hasn't met the ticket, fare, or baggage problem that he can't handle. Then there's line mechanic Denver Hatchell, 10 years on the job. He makes sure your Delta jet is 100% ready for you. And Captain Jim Watson, he's been flying for Delta for 20 years, a good man to have up front. Next time you travel to places like Nashville, St. Louis, or the Carolinas, fly Delta, where over 30,000 professionals are working to bring you fast, dependable transportation at the lowest possible cost. Delta is ready when you are.
Radio proudly presents Scar's Moral of the Story.
One man's mantra is another man's monster.
Hey! If I were a betting man, I would say that CW just joined us.
Yay!
Would I be correct?
Greetings and felicitations.
Oh, indeed.
Yay, CW. The whole family's here.
Yay.
The whole family's here.
There you are.
Hello, CW. Blam,
you have
you been able to tune in to most of our... Have you been able to tune in for most of our story tonight, CW?
No, unfortunately not. I had to do that four-letter thing. Starts with a W,
work.
Ends with a K. Ooh.
Yeah.
Language.
Walk.
Language.
Walk.
Wink. Wink.
Wink. That's a nice.
Wink, yeah.
This is a G-rated radio show. I don't know if we can talk about it.
Wart?
I wondered who was going to go there. That's Gar, huh? Wow.
You would have thought it would have been me, but no.
The dog went there.
Down, goat, down. Yes.
Very good story, though, from CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Boy, have we got a show for you tomorrow night.
We do.
Yep. Our special guest, author Mark Dowidziak, joins us with a tribute to Rod Serling, and he'll be talking about other stuff as well. And we have a special radio program written and produced by Rod Serling, It Can Happen to You, or It Happens to You?
It happened to you, yes. Yes. From 1954 that he wrote and produced while working down in Cincinnati, Ohio, where he went to college after the war, on the GI Bill.
The old GI Bill, which was a very good, it paid for everything.
I got my associate's degree through the GI Bill.
Wow. Paid for the books before books cost $5 million. The class week cost a penny, but the books cost $5 million.
No.
Yeah.
I still have some of the books. There's still good information in there.
Yep. Some.
Outstanding.
Yep. So, yeah, join us for that. We love Rod Serling here, of course, Twilight Zone, Night Gallery. And have we played a Zero Hour here yet, Dave? I'm trying to remember.
We have played a couple of the single part ones, yes. Yes.
Yeah. We'll have more. We'll have more.
We'll have more. We'll have more, yes.
Yeah. So
it'll be interesting. I'm going to pose some questions to the guest at hand on tomorrow. For example, talent-wise, I mean, everyone is always pooing Mr. Orson Welles in his youth, how he was doing everything. He was producing, directing, writing, starring, et cetera, et cetera. But I think Rod Serling, with the exception of being an actor, I don't think he ever was in front of the camera, but he did just about everything behind the camera, except being a cameraman. I think even Orson Welles, if I'm not mistaken, occasionally grabbed the camera away from the cameraman to get the shot he wanted.
Wouldn't surprise me.
But he got it confused with a bottle of wine, and he grabbed it.
Well, wine was not before its time, obviously.
It was not.
Yeah.
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 I think the difference between that, Rod was really more with the words, but also, you know, Orson was quite a bit younger. He was like 21 years old when he did War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
Something like that. I mean, where Rod had already been served in World War II and had gone through college and then was working his way into television at that time.
So because Orson was able to avoid the draft somehow.
Yeah.
I don't think some
World
War II people.
Rod did for smoking.
Yeah, Rod did the, during that time, people didn't avoid the draft. They willingly went, and sometimes they signed up for they thought they'd be drafted, so they signed up for a particular one of the service, armed services so that they would have a little bit more choice there, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I signed up twice.
Okay, so tomorrow it's a special two-hour show. Want to make sure we have time for a special guest. He's a well-written author. He does impressions and makes appearances as Mark Twain quite well, I would think. And I love some of the things that Mark Twain has said. And I'll share a Mark Twainism just before we sign out. But after our show, make sure you go over and see Gar the Ghoul on Twitch. Mark Twain, one of his favorite sayings about politicians were, they are like diapers and should be changed often for the same reasons.
Let's turn out of a window when you're done with them. Yeah, either way.
There you go. Enough said about that. So join us tomorrow. Good night. Good luck in prison. Drive them up and drink home safely.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And him and her.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
That's with you.
Can you dig it?
I can dig it.
It's with you. Tomorrow.
I can dig it. I'm digging it.
Digging it like sand spades. All right.
That's right.
Another fine episode.
In the can.
In the can.
Oh. Yeah.
Nicely done, gentlemen. Nicely done.
I have made it through another.
We got it here because I have some stories. I only have one night's worth. And so that's how we ended up with Wheel of Life. I only have one night's worth, so we had that for tonight. And
yeah.
I have several others that are only one night's worth as well. So that's kind of neat because then we have a special guest or something else, a birthday or an anniversary or something we're going to celebrate. It gives us the other night for that.
Davey, the amazing thing, though, is how many of these so far – I was just, you know how on Facebook sometimes your memories come up or whatever, and I'm like, oh my God, we've been doing it that long? My kids were how old?
Yeah.
I had no dog yet. What the heck? My great kitty was still with me. Oh.
Yeah.
We have come a long way.
We have.
I'm not sure. We may have gone through
way back.
Two dogs on my side.
Yeah.
So, Gar, has your internet service provider still letting you down?
Uh-oh. They came out today just to quantify that it wasn't my equipment and it's still messed up.
So they can't take your word for it.
No, even though I'm sending them data from four different computers saying it's not working, they sent someone out here. And they've been out here so many times that I knew the guy. I was like, oh, I know you. Hey, how are you? How you been? Yeah.
Hey, thanks for the overtime.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Are these union guys? Are these union guys?
No.
I don't know that we have unions in Florida. I don't think so.
Well, cable doesn't hire union guys. They hire freelancers.
Yeah, but they have to have a little bit of knowledge. They have to have, you know, they have to be able to use the gizmos that they have, all the fun toys.
The gizmos, like a wire coat hanger and some tin foil to wrap around the wires and everything, maybe to get the Wi-Fi working.
There you go.
Two paper
cups and a string.
Yeah. Yeah, I am overqualified as the IT guy on my network, on my own private network, and they'll toss questions at me, and I'll be able to answer them.
Wait a minute, you're overqualified to be a customer?
Yes, I am. except for the liability, I'd go and fix this myself, but...
That's a good approach. You should actually tell them that, Jagar. You know, I'm overqualified to be a customer. You need to start paying me.
That sounds like a weirdness moment in time. The overqualified customer.
The overqualified customer.
Well, when I'm not acting like a hostile witness, I'll get a little bit of traction, but I spoke
I'll tell
with
you what
someone.
I used to be...
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I used to be an overqualified customer almost whenever anytime I walked into Radio Shack, and I get these kids and I try to get them to sell me this particular item that I needed to fix what I needed. And they would argue with me. And eventually they would come around to figure out what I was talking about and then say, okay, yeah, that's probably what you want. Then what are you arguing with me for 20 minutes for? Just sell me what I want.
Well, I've been on both sides of a counter where I approach and I said, this is what I need. And, this, you know, they tell you what you got. Or the other side where someone walks up and they tell you and you go, that's what you need. Okay, good. So a little bit. It's too bad Radio Shacks are gone. And the best aspect of the Radio Shack was it was a place you could go. And you didn't have to go online. You didn't have to wait for it to get delivered. You could go right to the Radio Shack and get all the parts and pieces you needed to do whatever you were doing.
I did a lot of my audio with Radio Shack. Sometimes out of necessity, I was in a gig, something blew up, and it's like, no! Thankfully, there's a Radio Shack up the street, and I keep my gig going.
You have fond memories of Radio Shack. They're still online. I do not have fond memories of Radio Shack in the sense that they had this very, 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 very obnoxious clerk. And I was there to, I was bringing business, and there was some adult in there with their spawn that came in. So they went off and ignored me, and then blamed me when they didn't buy anything. So I just looked them up and looking down. I picked my battles. That and the fact I didn't want to do 5 to 10, but I digress.
That's a nice caveat. Didn't want
to
do 5 to 10.
You're young. You could spare the time. Let them have it.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. I could have, you know. And, not for Radio Shack. Yeah, not for that. Especially, you know, I could see which way the wind was blowing. Online was coming and everything, and all these other companies were still holding on to their little brick and mortar places.
Yeah. Right.
I still love brick and mortar stores.
It was nice that they had brick and mortar because they had them like so many of them within a close proximity, and I can't tell you how often I ran in just needing a cable or a cord or a connector or something. And you just can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
You have to get it online from somewhere because we no longer have an electronic store in this area. Not of any kind.
Right. Same here. It just depends on how deeply entrenched you are in doing your own electronics. But if you're into that, it was kind of a neat place to, you know, if something didn't work out right, it was a good place to go to. But I can definitely get, you know, there are different flavors of people you run across in any type of retail.
True.
And
that's true.
But it does. If you're advantage on the company, if you're a jerk where you're working, people are not going to have warm and fuzzy feelings about that place.
Yeah. So if some executive for Radio Shack Online happens to be hearing this, that is one of the reasons I do not miss your brick and mortar store.
Meanwhile, he's in the Bahamas going, hey, I got mine.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
And that's
a crazy thing because you're selling these little parts that were costing 15 to 25 cents, and now they're down in Bermuda. The heck? What the heck?
Well, actually, I have a radio that is a Radio Shack radio, and I got it on eBay. It has AM, FM, long wave, short wave.
Ooh, cool.
It even had, it looked just so interesting. It even has a cassette player in it of all things.
Haha.
1980s, yeah, okay.
I guess, but yeah.
Yeah, no, you can, you can pinpoint it, yeah.
Yeah. And it has, I didn't get the AC extension. It just runs on batteries, but.
Ooh.
Yeah,
but that's kind of cool.
Yeah, so. I think so. I mean, I can still pick up occasionally someone doing Morse code.
Oh,
Exactly.
You know, if we had a Radio Shack store around, you could pick up an AC adapter for that. But no.
Actually, there's one online. It's on eBay. There is one on eBay.
There you go.
I remember
Yeah, actually, the device I have right now does Morse code flashes. There's an app for that now, so I don't even have to think about it if I want to do Morse code. Well, I think when your device can do it to me.
How dare you say that to me, Gar? I tell you.
What I say? Yeah.
You just offended our
You watch your beeps.
I have a Batman and Robin Morse code thing here, and you can tap it, and it comes across on walkie-talkies. It'll bust into those if you do the... Yeah, the Morse code key. But it's a Batman and Robin walkie-talkie command base or something. Very funny.
Yeah, there's even a ham radio app I was looking into. I got that for a moment, but because I don't know anything about it, they kind of got really salty with me, so I hurried up and deleted that thing right away.
Salty and ham? Okay.
Salty more like
and
spam.
Ham.
No, like spam.
There you go, spam.
Lovely spam.
Sounds like a meaty argument.
And with that bit of spam, if I may be so bold, I will say my farewells and...
Before you go, CW, how was your week?
Oh, very nice.
Okay, cool. We rarely cross paths on here. Yes,
I mean, everything was just fireworks, boom, boom. The Friday, the Saturday, the Sunday, the Monday, boom.
My neighborhood was good. They pretty much did it on Sunday night, the 3rd, including myself. My son dropped a whole bunch of money in. I mean, some of these things were big. But what amazed me is my dog didn't even flinch. He's like, no, I want to come and hang out with you guys. Because we were outside of our fenced area in the back patio.
Wow.
And he's like, oh,
I was wondering how
you feel.
A lot of animals just go berserk.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Our cats usually
part of it. Part of my military experience, I'm not enthralled by all the explosions at all. I don't like them. I'm a curmudgeon. I've gotten old and curmudgeon-y.
No, you know what? We did check with our immediate neighbors, and the houses are spread out apart, and my property is such. It's on a curve where it spreads out in the back, so it's really a pentagon shape, you know,
that's where you hide all the bodies. Okay.
Like an inlung.
Yeah, that's it.
And they're like, no, cool. And I guess on the local, my wife belongs to like a community Facebook page where a lot of people say on their street name, oh, it was really cool. So I think they meant us, although there were that you could see off in the distance doing the same thing. Because we don't have tall buildings. You can kind of see far down the way.
Nice.
I'm glad it's over, and now I just have to worry about New Year's, I guess.
Yeah.
And Halloween. Halloween, the big one. The big one. Halloween first. Oh, yeah, they do blow up fireworks in your neck of the woods, don't they, Gar?
And on New Year's, they do.
Halloween around here so much that I know of. How about you, Dave? Are you part of Ohio?
No. Yeah, no, not for Halloween, no.
Unless
you give out the fun size bars, then you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Right. Like they might be doing crazy stuff like that down at Mickey Mouse World, but I'm over 100 miles away from there.
Yeah, I mean
they just need an excuse over there.
I think enough is enough. I keep it to the one night on the 4th when everybody's doing it and when the city's doing it. So if people don't want to go and they're in our area, they can enjoy it or not. If we're far enough away, shut your curtains. You won't even know it's there. And
one thing,
the other holidays, not so much. I mean, we hear more like hunters shooting in the woods more than anything.
Yeah. At 1:30 in the morning, I'm like, can we stop now? You know, it's just ridiculous. Because, I'm like, want to go to sleep, you know, and boom, oh, gee, oh, there, well, there's that, you know. Crazy. So I'm glad that's over with.
But, yeah.
Well, I'm glad you had a good week there, CW.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Gentlemen, I really must be away till tomorrow when we have our wonderful guest. Hooray, hooray, hooray. So,
yes.
Glad to be with us.
Yay.
Yep.
Yes. Is Mr. Durante around, perchance?
Somewhere.
Well, you
better
find out. Go knock on the door over there.
There you go.
Good night. It's time to say good night. Good night. What more to say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Arrivo, up we the day. Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
Hello, I'm Mr. Reyes.